Matthew Barnaby, NHL analyst. You can hear him occasionally on Sirius XM as well. Joins us now, former teammate of Dominic Hasek. When you got there, Matt, Dom was already firmly entrenched. But the story of how he got there, again, is a really fascinating one. Goalies are so protected. They're very rarely traded when they're young in this modern-day NHL. Hasek was different.
Yeah, I think it was Christian Ruttu that went back the other way from Buffalo. So it was one of those things. You know, we still had Grant Fuhr that was our goalie and brought in too. So he wasn't entrenched as the number one right away. When I got there, we had made a big trade with Alexei Zhitnik and Grant Fuhr and that whole thing, sending those guys over. So he quickly became the goalie that we all became to know. Just an amazing work ethic on and off the ice. His practices, he didn't care if you shot, and unlike a lot of different goalies, didn't care where you shot it, how hard you shot it, if you hit him in the head, which is certainly different than a lot of number one goalies, but he was an amazing, amazing man on that ice.
That must have been something as a young player to watch, because you come in, Grant Fuhr's won plenty of Stanley Cups, Canada Cups, and you get there, and all of a sudden, Grant Fuhr's not a terribly emotional dude, and he must have realized pretty instantaneously, I'm losing my gig here. This kid's outplaying me, and it's not even close.
And you know, he was very good about it. Yeah. I got to say, I mean, he was at the end of his career, and obviously won so many Stanley Cups with Edmonton, and been through so much. So for me, just listening to Grant's stories, there was never a controversy. There was never a time where he stood there and complained about it any which way. So he was just a pure professional. But we could see very quickly the athleticism that Dominic Hasek had, and how different he was than any other goalie we had ever seen. So I'm sure it was tough on him, but at the same time, there was no controversy like we've seen in today's game with guys going through that.
One of our favorites, Matthew Barnaby, joins us, Brody and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Tell him that.
A fan base kind of forgives all, right? Like, we've seen Patrick Waugh leave Montreal unceremoniously, and now they love him in Montreal again. Was there a time when Sabres fans were a little tired of some of Hasek's act, and how is he viewed now in the city of Buffalo?
Well, I think when he played, you know, there's a certain thing about his personality that maybe wore thin, and there's different things that happened. You know, he wasn't a big fan of Ted Nolan's at the time, and it was kind of a Muckler-Nolan controversy through the whole thing. And Pat LaFontaine and myself and a few other guys, probably half the team, were on Teddy's side. And Teddy was a beloved fan favorite from the people around Western New York, and we had no how it happened, and was let go after winning Coach of the Year. And Dominic was a John Muckler guy who I like a lot, but there was a very big divide. So I think a lot of fans went through some tough times with Dom with that whole era. And there was also, you know, the time where a lot of people thought that he quit on the team in the Ottawa playoffs with an injury that he had to his knee. So then you couple that with getting traded, going and winning a Stanley Cup with the Detroit Red Wings. I think a lot of people had some sour tastes in their mouth. But when it's all said and done, I think we look back on his career, and people in Western New York certainly do, to me, the greatest goaltender that ever lived. He was that good, that dominant. I think he won 6 Norris trophies. He won a Hart trophy. And I think when they look back, they look at all the good that he did for Buffalo, the chances that he gave to compete for years with a very average team. And they just look back and marvel at all the great saves and things he did for the city of Buffalo as well.
And you're already gone on to Pittsburgh by then, but sometimes it's also what you get back in a trade. You know this from other sports, and you know, not to knock him, but they got Slava Kozlov and a first round pick that really never materialized. And that's the hard thing too, when you, hey, the Eric Lindros trade would be viewed a lot differently if it didn't turn into Peter Forsberg and Mike Ricci and all these other guys that the Avalanche got, right?
Yeah, Slava Kozlov never really came into his own, and he was I think at the time they thought they were getting a stud. He was very good in Detroit, but it didn't work out here, and the first rounder never panned out.
No.
So, yeah, it certainly does affect the way you view a trade and a guy. If you went on to win and they had two studs that came in and for 10 years brought the city and the team a lot of joy and a lot of success, then you'd be like, oh, it was great. great. He went on and won his Stanley Cup. But when they come back and they do nothing for your team, that's what hurts.
Matthew Barnaby, our guest. Leaf fans are finding themselves at a bit of a crossroads here, as you can imagine. They had one of the most exciting teams in the National Hockey League in terms of scoring goals and giving up goals, but they hated it. It was a 7-3 loss one night, the 7-3 win the other night. So they make the change, Randy Carlyle out, and now in three games under Peter Horacek, they've given up 20-something shots each and every night, including 20 last night in L.A., but they lose 2-0. Your thoughts on this new style of play?
Well, I thought last name was great. It was a terrible start, and you expect more when you're on the road against a great team like that in Los Angeles, the defending Stanley Cup champions. But I think overall, that's the kind of hockey that they're going to be successful with. You are not going to be successful when you are giving up almost 35 to 40 shots a night. It's just impossible for a team to have that kind of success on a consistent basis. Like you said, you're going to win some games. You're going to be very entertaining. You're going to be a lot of fun to watch. But the recipe for success, when you're giving up 33, 34 shots a night, just look at the Buffalo Sabres. They give up 35 shots a night. Not a recipe for success. If you look at the Arizona and Ottawa, they give up 31 and 32 shots against a night. So those teams are not successful teams for a reason. When you give up that many shots, too many grade-A scoring chances, very entertaining for the fans to watch, but it's not going to add up to wins at the end of the season. So I think the game last night and the way that they've played in the last few, there's been a lot more passion, a lot more paying attention to defensive zone and your abilities to play without the puck. Still a lot of work. There's still once or twice in a game, and you're going to have mistakes, but they really have to key on, because I don't think they're a good enough team if they don't play very, very sound defensively to compete with especially the Western Conference, and we'll see what lays ahead when they get through these next three games on the West, because it's a different beast out there.
The only interesting thing is that I think everybody agrees with you, but when you have guys like JVR and Phil Kessel and Bose, these guys want to score, right? And if you're starting to lose games 2-0, 2-1, you're not getting your points. Is there a tendency to kind of regress back to kind of the cheating ways a little bit?
Well, there is. There's obviously a tendency. I mean, scorers want to score, and we know at the end of the day that every day that a scorer goes without a point, it's not a good day when they go home. They feel that pressure, and I understand playing in the Toronto market, the pressure to score and be successful and all of it, but it has to come after the team first, and that's the way if they're going to be successful. Now, if they go back to the way that they were playing before, then they aren't guys you can build around. You have to build a way around guys that are willing to score maybe 65 points instead of 85 points, but the team's a legitimate playoff team and a cup contender. That's how you're going to get successful. If your team's an 85-point guy and everyone around them and they lose and never make the playoffs, then those aren't guys you want to build around, and that's when you take the next step to see what's out there. That's where we'll see if these guys are true leaders or true guys to build teams around, or whether they're just very talented guys. So the process, I'm sure, is started right now when Randy Carlyle was fired and Horacek took over. They're only going to be able to play one way and be successful. If not, I don't think they'll be Toronto Maple Leafs for very long, because this has to change. The culture has to change. And if it's not the players' fault, then it's the coach's fault. But certainly the way that they're playing the last few games leads to me to believe that this team can be coached if they stay within a structure. And if those guys aren't happy with it, then they might as well move on to better places.
Matt Barnaby's our guest. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, we were kicking around earlier this morning movies that make men cry. We found a list. There's some war movies, right? Field of Dreams, some
dog,
other stuff.
Dog movies.
Walker, as you can imagine, Matt, Walker gets upset during Fantasy Island reruns. is there anything? You're an emotional dude. Is there anything that leaps up? And there's dad movies where you cry. You think about your kids. There's movies you think about with you. And what can bring Matthew Barnaby to tears?
I am emotional. That sucks. I go to a lot of movies and I cry, and sometimes I'll go with my kids and I'll look, they'll be sitting beside me and tears will come down. And my son is 16 now. He's like, Dad, you're just soft. That's just really soft. But the first movie I ever remember crying at was The Champ.
Ricky Schroeder. Yeah.
And
John Voight.
Yes, yeah. An awesome movie. I was young and crying, and lately Blindside it was very emotional, man. I'm going to cry now just thinking about it. And what's the other one? The one I saw with my kids, The Stars with
The Fault in Our Stars.
In Our Stars. Yeah, that brought me to tears too. So, yeah, there's a lot of movies. There's a lot less that don't make me cry. And anytime a guy gets divorced in a movie, I just know how much he's losing in money. So that makes me cry.
Oh, my heavens. That's a different kind of sad. Yeah.
But you can you can watch Mark Wahlberg in The Gambler and think that that's also the case, right? Thousands of dollars down the. Walker will have kids someday and he'll cry during Shrek. It'll just rip him apart.
He cries like Shrek because he looks like Shrek. So
all right. Okay. That's
too easy.
All right, Matt. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Have a great day, guys.